It is time to bring in Dr. Judy Wertman. It's time for Food for Mood. Judy has not been with us for 35 years, but she's been with us for quite a long time. Good morning, Dr. Wertman.
Good morning to you. In all sorts of climates and various locations, that's true.
That is true.
But it's always been wonderful every Thursday morning to know I'll be talking to both of you. And I hope that your knee is feeling better.
It is, and both of them are done now, so we'll see what happens in the next 3 months, whether it's a great idea or just another idea that came to be.
Well, it's nice to know you have 2 feet to stand on right now, so.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I came across a sort of strange article a couple of weeks ago looking at whether the fact that people around this time of year tend to drink more, well, it's the holidays, really might be drinking more, not just because one has had until this Omicron variant entered our lives, had the potential of going to Christmas parties or open houses or going out to restaurants with friends, etc. And part of that experience, of course, is alcohol intake. And in addition, because we tend to stay inside due to the fact that the sun sets impossibly early at this particular time of year, you know, the 21st was the shortest day of the year, it gives you the opportunity to perhaps have a cocktail maybe 3 or 4 hours earlier than you might have in the height of the summer. You know, as they say, it's 4 o'clock someplace or 5 o'clock someplace. And so if it's dark at four, you might think, well, it's time to really start drinking. And it's been known that people tend to have an increased alcohol consumption during the holidays. But now there's studies showing that it really can increase quite significantly throughout the entire winter. And some people have wondered whether it's the cold, you know, the fact that most of the world, unless with a few exceptions, you know, are cold this time of year, or it's simply the early darkness. And most studies have pointed to the fact that it really is a great deal more drinking done simply because it's dark so early. And the link to all this may be, although it really hasn't been made very overtly in a lot of these studies, is something called winter depression or seasonal affective disorder. And one of the most obvious examples of this link between the early darkness and winter depression and alcoholism apparently takes place in Sweden, where alcohol intake increases significantly during the winter months, and so does depression. In fact, the number of people who are depressed in Sweden is so high, and even the risk of suicide is high, that an energy company decided that one way to handle this was to install lights, therapeutic lights, in bus shelters, so that when the Swedish citizens are waiting for a bus, presumably they can get buses wherever they are, they will be exposed to these lights that may help reverse the symptoms of winter depression. And this is true in a town that I actually visited many years ago called Umeå, which is almost at the Arctic Circle, just a little bit below that. And I was there in the end of August, and by that time, the days were noticeably shorter. I mean, certainly noticeably shorter than in Boston or New England. And I was told, I actually was there for a meeting on winter depression, and one of the people who lived in the area told me that there really is a great deal of increased alcohol intake, but increased carbohydrate intake as well. In fact, one man, and I never forgot this, said to me, well, you know, the way I get through the summer is to make sandwiches of mashed potatoes between two in a roll. And so the filling was carbohydrate between two pieces of carbohydrate. And he said, you know, I eat that, and I really do feel better. And in doing the research on this, you know, winter depression, alcohol intake, et cetera, it looked to me as if nobody really was looking at the link between serotonin, you know, that chemical in the brain that makes us feel good, and excessive alcohol intake and carbohydrate craving. But there really is a very good, strong link between the two. And one of the things that apparently happens if you are a chronic alcoholic, your liver enzymes are altered such that this amino acid tryptophan that should be getting into your brain and making more serotonin is somehow degraded. It's sort of metabolically changed, so it no longer is serotonin. And so people who have chronic alcoholism really have lower serotonin levels in their brain. Well, some do anyway. And that may account for the depression that one often sees with alcohol intake and excessive alcohol intake. And in fact, there are some rehabilitation centers that put people on a high carbohydrate diet, a healthy carbohydrate diet, but a high carbohydrate diet, you know, beans, lentils, you know, whole grain foods, whole grain pasta, what have you, in order to increase the amount of serotonin in the brain, because we know that when you eat carbohydrates, you get more tryptophan into the brain and you make more serotonin. And so it is possible that the reason that you see people drinking more at this time of year and throughout the rest of the winter, and also eating more carbohydrates, is for the same reason. The lack of light really does affect serotonin activity in the brain. And the only way at this point to compensate is either antidepressants, lights, phototherapy lights, early in the morning, or eating carbohydrate. So I think the takeaway message is that we shouldn't just be casual about saying, well, you know, it's wintertime, people drink more, what have you, because it really can lead to excessive alcohol intake with all its associated problems. And the thing to do is to say, no, you know, if you are drinking much more, it may be that you're depressed, and maybe that you should be seeking some kind of help. But at the very least, consider having a carbohydrate rather than a drink, because you may have the same positive effect on your mood. And, you know, as somebody said a long time ago, you are never going to be vulnerable to the charge of drinking under the influence of chocolate cake. You know, and so if you eat the chocolate cake, you're certainly not going to go out on the road and get into an accident. So I think it's just something that people should be considering right now.
So I have a question sort of around that. A friend of mine spoke to a friend of his who is on the large side, who has been treble vaccinated plus flu shotted in the last year, is miserable, home, terrified of going out, terrified of getting sick, and eating pretty much out of packets. And I don't know how, the real question is, how do you break the cycle once it is so far gone?
Unfortunately, he's not drinking. I assume he's not drinking. He's simply overeating, right?
The man is sick, so I believe he is not drinking, but the mental aspect is every bit as bad. I mean, because you know there are a lot of people who won't even go out and get fresh air.
You know, I think you brought. You really are talking about something very, very important. I think there are people who may have underlying anxiety about everything, and they also may have agoraphobia, which is fear of leaving the home, usually because people don't want to encounter social situations they can't control. But this may give people an excuse, you know, an excuse that we can't really argue with, to stay at home. Well, you know, I'm not going to go out to your home or to the supermarket or to any kind of performance or to any kind of party or social gathering, even if I know people are triple vaccinated and are wearing double masks, because I don't want to get sick. And it really is, I think, a reflection not of their fear of getting sick, but really their fear of social encounters. And they have a very good excuse now for never leaving their home. But the point is, it is pathological. And
right.
If you saw this gentleman not leave his home, under other circumstances, you would say, gee, I think he really should see a therapist, correct? But you can't say anything to him because he has a very good excuse for not doing so.
Right. That is something. We're going to run out of time on this one, but perhaps you can turn your fine brain into assisting in uncoiling that in some way, because he is a rule.
And the flip side of that is the impact of social isolation that simply exaggerates the whole situation.
Exactly.
Which may lead to drinking also. A lot of drinking.
This is why we call you Dr. Wharton.
Have a happy holiday. I hope keep healthy.
That's right.
And safe. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Bye-bye then.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wharton, Food for Mood.
And next year will be the wrap-up year for the show.
Which show? Judy?
Well, yeah, the next week will be the last one of the
year.
Oh,
I thought she, I was like, I said, did she tell you something?
No, last one of the year. The wrap-up show for the year. There you go.